Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. An old saying, unfortunately often unapplied, goes something like this: we keep doing what we've always done before, don't expect a different result. Thus, we will hear the second part of Pastor Brian Grant's message begun last week, in which he uses lessons from the life of King Asa, one of the good kings of Judah, to illustrate how doing things differently than his immediate predecessors earned King Asa God's commendation for a life well lived. Asa was a victorious runner in that race described later in Hebrews 12 verses 1 and 2. In the first part of his message, Pastor Grant made the point that a victorious runner in this race, like King Asa, focuses on pleasing God. Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and follow along with us as Pastor Grant brings before us his point number 2 in his message entitled, Running to Win. Once again, here is Pastor Grant.
Victorious runners take rest in God's power to deliver. I'm reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 18. I want to read the first 3 verses. Victorious runners take rest in God's power to deliver. Jehoshaphat, the Bible tells us, had riches and honor in abundance. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong place. Verse number 8. And Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah, who carried shields and spears, and from Benjamin 280,000 men who carried shields and drew bows. So he had 580 who had a shield and a bow. Verse number 9, then Zerah the Ethiopian came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots. Listen, Asa was overpowered. He had 580. The other guys had almost twice as many, 1,000,000. He had some men with bows. The other guy had 300 chariots. Listen, these were fighting machines. So Asa went out against them, and they set the troops in battle array in the valley of Zephatha at Marisha. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude, O Lord. You are God. Do not let man prevail against you. So the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled, and Asa and the people who were with him pursued them to Jera. So the Ethiopians were overthrown, and they could not recover, for they were broken before the Lord and his army, and they carried away very much spoil. Just think of what had happened. Asa was in trouble. He had come before an army much mightier than he was, 2-1 odds. He had very puny weapons. They had the latest weapons of that era. But Asa turned to the Lord and he said, listen, Lord, it is nothing for you to help. You know, my friend, life is filled with all sorts of drama that can scare us. Am I right about that? And guess what? One of the challenges, it's great to start well in the race and be focusing on God, but along life's journey, there are going to be trials and tribulations and problems. And if you don't have some way to deal with them, some people get sidetracked and sidelined. And so it's important that we realize that we can always turn to God. Victorious runners take rest in God's power to deliver. Right now I'm speaking to people, and I bet you there's someone listening to me this morning. You know, you're concerned, you're worried because you have a health problem, or perhaps your spouse has a health problem, or one of your children have a health problem. Some of you are panicking because of COVID. Some of you are worried because of job issues. Some of you are worried about because of relationship issues. And if you're not careful, you're so downcast that you're not running to win. You've been put on the bench. Your worry has defeated you. God is saying to you this morning, listen, you can keep running to win because you can cast all your care upon him, because he cares for you. And listen to what the Asa said in verse 11. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. God, we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude. My friend, no matter what it is against you, with God's strength, with God on your side, listen, you will be victorious. You know, I read a story of a U.S. Marine who got separated from his unit on a Pacific island during World War II. You know, they'd been caught in an intense battle, and somehow with all the smoke in the air, he got separated from his unit. And alone in the jungle, he heard the enemy soldiers coming in his direction. You can imagine how scared he was. He's by himself. The enemy is heading in his direction. And so he had to search, where am I going to hide? And as the Lord would have it, there were some caves in the rocks. And he decided, okay, he scrambled into one of the caves. Listen, but he soon realized the enemy was not going to just look in one cave. They were going to go from cave to cave until they found him. And so he started praying, Lord, please protect me. Lord, please help me. And as he waited and the enemy drew closer, it seemed as if God was not going to do anything. He started getting discouraged. And, you know, he saw a spider building a web over the cave that he was in. And as he watched the spider lay a strand after strand of web across the cave, this man, he said, man, God, I need a brick wall, and you're sending a spider. He was so disappointed that God had not intervened to rescue him. And so as he lay in in the darkness of his cave, he could see them searching one cave after another. And so the man, he was now prepared, because he realized that any moment now the enemy was going to enter his cave. He had his weapon ready. He was going to make his last stand. And then they finally got to his cave. But to his amazement, they looked at his cave and they moved on. Guess why? The spider's web, because the spider's web had covered the entrance. His cave looked as if no one had entered it for a long time. They looked at his cave and they moved on. And that day the man learned an amazing lesson, that God can you, with God, a spider's web is stronger than a brick wall. Oh, I hope somebody heard that this morning. With God, a spider's web is stronger than a brick wall. And I want you to know, my friend, no matter what is going on in your life, you can depend on Jesus. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 is a verse that everybody needs to memorize. And my friend, put that down, and you, when we're finished today, you go and take a look at that verse. That verse is a verse I quote quite often, because that verse, part of what it tells us, listen, it tells us that he is able to do exceedingly. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. Listen, it's not only saying God is able to do what we ask or think, It says he's able to do above all we ask or think. No, it's saying more than that. It says he's able to do more than we ask or think. No, it's saying we're able to do abundantly more than we ask or think. It's saying he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that's at work. It's in us. The Spirit of God is living within us. And by the power of the Spirit of God, he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think. What a mighty God we serve. My friend, this God, he is available to those who call upon him, those who are walking with him. And it is my prayer this morning, my friend, that you will decide to walk closely with Jesus, that you would start focusing on pleasing him, and that you will rest in him. Listen, what have we said so far? Victorious runners focus on pleasing God. Number two, victorious runners take rest in God's power. And third and finally, write this down. Victorious runners never lose their loyal heart for God. Let me say that again. Victorious runners never lose their loyal heart for God. In my 30s, I traveled a lot with my father-in-law, and he often said to me, "Brian, I pray every day that in my later life, I will not become a wicked old man." You know, I was always puzzled. Why would my father-in-law tell me that? He was a godly man. Why would he, a godly man, be praying, "Lord, help me not to become a wicked old man"? But no, I realize why. For he knew that many Christians who started well don't finish well. Are you finishing well? You know, after the victory over the Ethiopians, the Lord was with Asa, and Judah was blessed with peace and prosperity. Things went so well for Asa that even his enemies realized that God was with him. And as a result, some of the 10 tribes who were on Israel's side, you remember now that Israel was split into two. Judah and Benjamin became what the Bible refers to as Judah. And Israel, after this split, when the Bible refers to Israel, it's referring to the other 10 tribes. But here's something unusual that we often miss happened. Some of the tribes from the larger 10, they were so impressed with how God was with Asa, they left and decided to start pledging allegiance to Asa. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse number 9. 2 Chronicles 15, verse number 9. It tells us there, "Then Asa gathered all Judah and Benjamin, and listen, and those who dwelt with them from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon, for they came over to him in great number from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him." Amazingly, life was good for Asa. There was peace and prosperity, and his power had grown because his kingdom was extending. But as the years went by, success went to his head. My brothers and sisters, I want to give us a word of caution this morning, because it can happen to us. You see, it's so easy that when God blesses us and we start being successful, it's so easy for us to start patting ourselves on the back. And my friend, once we start patting ourselves on the back, we'll soon start following our own wisdom rather than walking by faith. I hope somebody's hearing me this morning, because when we start patting ourselves on the back because of our accomplishments, we'll soon start following our own wisdom. Oh, you say, oh, that could never happen to me. Listen, this was a man of God. Asa was a solid man of God. And look at what finally happened. Look with me at 2 Chronicles chapter 16. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 10. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might let none go out or come into Asa, king of Judah. So listen, what is going on here? Baasha, the king of Israel, there's going to be a war now between Israel and Judah. And so Asa brought silver and gold from the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who dwell in Damascus, saying, let there be a treaty between you and me, as there was between my father and your father. See, I have sent you silver and gold. Come, break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me. So Ben-Hadad heeded King Asa and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. They attacked, and the Bible tells us a number of cities they attacked. Verse 5, now it happened when Baasha heard it that he stopped building Ramah and ceased his work. Then King Asa took all Judah, and they carried away the stones and timber of Ramah, which Baasha had used for building. And with them he built Geba and Mizpah. It seemed like all was okay. Asa had used his wisdom and devised a plan. He worked out a deal with the king of Syria and told him to break his treaty with Israel, and he did. And now, to their good fortune, or so they thought, peace was restored. But look at what happens, verse 7. And at that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria, and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Were the Ethiopians and the Lubim not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. Listen to this verse. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars. Then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in prison, for he was enraged at him because of this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at that time. This is an unbelievable turn in the story. You remember when Asa faced the Ethiopians, the odds against him. Listen, the odds against Asa when he faced the Ethiopians were much greater than the odds that were now against him when he faced Israel. But the last time he trusted in God and God delivered him. But this time, because of his successes, he decided to rely on his own wisdom. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, God is searching the earth to strengthen those whose heart is loyal to him. Listen, victorious runners never lose their loyal heart for God. You say, Brother Brian, what is a loyal heart? Put this in your notes. What is a loyal heart? A loyal heart is a heart that maintains an unwavering commitment to the Lord. A loyal heart is a heart that maintains an unwavering commitment to the Lord. Do you have a loyal heart? Are you totally committed to the Lord? Are you relying on your own wisdom? Asa started so well, but here he was no longer relying on the Lord, and as a result, his end was unbelievable. I'm at 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 10. Stay with me as we look at the unbelievable end of this man who ran so well. I'm reading from verse number 11. Note that the acts of Asa, the Bible tells us, first and last, are indeed written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel, verse number 12, and in the 39th year of his reign. So Asa has been king. It tells us in verse 60, chapter 16, verse number 1, he had been walking with God from before he was 18. At 18, he continued walking with God, and he served God. But in the 36th year of his reign is when he decided, after walking with God for all that time, it's in the 36th year of his reign, he decided, I'm going to do it my way. And so the message came to him in the 36th year of his reign. Asa refused to bend. In fact, he started mistreating people. And now in the 39th year of his reign, God has given him 3 more years to change course. But in the 39th year of his reign, God, the Bible says, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but he sought the physicians. God is telling you, I gave him 3 years to get his act together. I allowed him to get sick now, to force his hand, to make him look up and say, God, I need you. But instead of saying that, Asa was resolute. He was not going to do what God said. And the Bible said, Asa, this man who had walked with God for all those years, Asa decided, I am going to do it my way. I'm going to the physicians. Bible tells you in verse 13, so Asa rested with his fathers. He died in his 41st year of his reign, and they buried him in his own tomb. This is one of the greatest stories with the saddest endings, because Asa had become a wicked old man. I hope this morning, as God's word comes across, I wonder if there's somebody, you may not even be chronologically old, but in your behavior, it's mirroring some of what has happened to Asa. There was a time you walked with God, but you have rebelled. You have turned your back against God, and you're determined to do things your way. Asa died a wicked old man. He started well, but failed to win. So at the end of his race, he never heard, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't know about you, my friend, but I want to hear God's well done. Amen. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to run to win. But listen, we cannot run to win if we don't finish well. And I want to challenge every believer in Jesus Christ, those of us who have been walking with Jesus all along the way, this is no time for you to let up or slack up. Listen, we have got to finish strong. And my God, challenge you this morning, my friend, those of you who have become lackadaisical and have been sitting, taking it easy, waiting for the rapture or waiting to go home, this is not the time to slow up and slack up. It's the time to keep running to the tape. But as I bring this message to the close, I want to speak to somebody else. You know, because there are some, I meet people sometimes who have been off to such a bad start that a message like this is a discouragement for them, because they said, listen, I really have no chance of running to win because I was off to such a bad start. Listen, I got some great news for you. Listen, the most important thing is not how we started, but how we finish. And I want to talk to somebody this morning. Your life is messed up and you figure there is no hope for you. And I want you to know you can still run to win, because you can choose today to start focusing on pleasing God. You can choose today to live a life of loyalty to God, a life of total commitment to God. You can make a decision to change course and decide that you are going to make your life count for God. God. My friend, if you do that and decide to make a total commitment to God, listen, one of these days, despite the bad start, hallelujah, you will still be able to run to win. And one of these days, when you go home, the master will say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And you at the bema seat, he will present you with your crowns, because you had run to win. You ran to win. And oh, I pray that this morning there's somebody who is listening that will make that decision. Some perhaps you may be a young person or an older person, doesn't matter. But in the quietness of your heart, you need to make that decision. God, I want to come your way. I want to run to please you. I want to know you. Perhaps you're not even saved. I'm going to ask you right now to invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen." And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.